Call everyone. Run. Take aim. Robinson, come here, we can start that. With the people that are the athletes. For the center of the.
He's here.
Testing.
Move.
Are we there? Yeah. Has an echo too. Okay, once again, page 91 toward the bottom. Starting talking, number two says there is no escape from opposing winds by simply becoming a Christian. Then we have some individuals marked for us to talk about. And this one is number two on this list was Joseph. Number one was Joseph. And number two here is Paul. An apostle had to battle discouraging forces all his Christian life. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 27, it says here. Let's read that. 2 Corinthians 11, 24 through 28, I wrote down. This is Paul going over at one point in his life the trials and tribulations that he had. He had many, and you'll see as we go through this list. But he's not complaining. He's just saying, I went through all this. And he's still true to Christ and true to God. Verse 24. Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. 40 stripes, save one is how many? 39. If it is, as a citizen of Rome, that's a max they could do is 39. 40 and it got somebody in trouble. Number 20, verse 25, thrice, three times, was he beaten with rods. So to 40 stripes, that's being beat with a whip or a leather belt maybe, something like that. Here we've got a hard rod of some kind. Once he was stoned, and we know about that. They stoned him thinking they'd actually put him to death, I believe. Thrice he suffered shipwreck. Night and day he's been in the deep. At one point, he was there all night, all day, trying to just tread water, trying to save himself from drowning. In journeyings often, perils of water, there's a lot of perils here. Perils of robbers, perils by my own countrymen, perils by the heathen, people who don't believe in a God, perils of the city, perils in the wilderness, perils in the sea, perils among false brethren. So we could simply say perils everywhere, couldn't we? And that's what he's saying. Wherever he went, he was in perils. He was in danger. 27, in weariness and painfulness, watchings often. And I got a footnote here that this one of the watchings is talking about, you know, again, not being able to sleep from time to time. He just couldn't. He had sleepless nights, often. Hunger and thirst, fastings often, unintentional evidently. He couldn't get food, couldn't have food. And cold and nakedness. Besides those things that are outside, that which comes upon me daily, and the care of all the churches, the concern, his concern for the churches. So he had all these physical conflicts that came his way. But he said also at the same time, I've got to take care of the churches that we've worked with and we planted to make sure they're still okay. But still, he's not complaining. He's just telling you what he went through. Problems, problems, problems. Paul had them. Contrary winds, how did they blow? And required much toiling and rowing, much work to do to keep the boat going straight, if you will. But his voyage on life's tempestuous sea was a success. The unconquerable hero victoriously declared, "The things which happened unto me have fallen out rather than upon the furtherance of the gospel." Fallen out, maybe we can say, the things which happened unto me have turned out to do, turned out to be a blessing that furthered the gospel. He's even positive in that, rather than negative. That's Philippians 1:12. They finally put him to death, but in his losing, he won, and in his dying, he lives. Remember, he wrote somewhere around half the New Testament was written by Paul. Number three, adverse winds disciple us. By having plans go wrong, we learn to be more humble and more dependent upon God. Unrealized aims teach us to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. That's James 4:15. We learn to put the trust where it belongs. That's in God. God knows we need chastisement. Though it is grievous at the time, it is for our good. I mean, you may not think that sometimes, but you need to be tested from time to time. We all do. We pass that test, we're going to be a better person, a better Christian. Though it is grievous, it is for our good. Now, no chastening, for the present seemeth to be joyous. As you're going through it, it doesn't seem like it's not something you want to do, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby, or which are trained by it. Learn something from that experience. Hebrews 12:11. Number four, negative circumstances try man's faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried or tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promise, offered up his only begotten son. Hebrews 11:17. He seemed to be an opposing command. It seemed to be an opposing command that required Abraham to offer his son on the altar. But what did he do? He laid his son on the altar, stretched forth his hand, took the knife to slay him, and it was then that God stayed his hand and said, "Now I know that thou fearest God." Genesis 22:12. That would be very confusing, didn't it, to Abraham? God promises him a son. He has a son. And now God says, take his life. Show me how strong you are. Abraham was going to do what God wanted. It grieved him tremendously. But he passed the test. God stayed his hand and they found an animal to sacrifice. God provided an animal for that. So Abraham was blessed. Isaac was blessed. And so was his whole family. Opposing winds provide an opportunity for our greatness, if we have it. to shine as gold. Now, these next few paragraphs are about Job. Most of us know the story about Job. It's a great book to read, great lesson to learn. Job is an inspiring example. He was perfect and upright and one that feared God and eschewed evil. Eschewed evil. Shunned evil. Stayed away from it. Didn't have anything to do with it. Stayed away from it. Perfect and upright. It means he obeyed God's word. That's what that means. On a certain day, his cattle were stolen by Sabaeans. His sheep were destroyed by fire. Ants were slain. No, servants were slain. I'm sorry. I'm one line off. His sheep were destroyed by fire. His camels were taken by the Chaldeans. That's it. Nearly all his servants were slain. And his seven sons were killed in a storm. Job 1, 13 through 19. He had been great all the time. But a deeper and nobler greatness began to shine like pure gold. Down upon the ground, and he fell down upon the ground and worshipped and said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, naked shall I return thither. The Lord God and the Lord hath taken away. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job 1, 20 and 21. In all this, Job blank not, sinned not, nor charged God foolishly, nor blamed God for what happened. There's no indication he did that. He kept himself under control. But those around him, did they do the same? No. He had conflict all around him. This was not all. He was afflicted with sore boils from the sole of his feet to his crown. That's not good. But he still didn't complain. Didn't give up. There was his wife to contend with, who said, "Dost thou still retain thy integrity?" She's saying, "You know, you must have done something really wrong, or this wouldn't be happening to you." That's what she's telling him. Talking about losing his integrity. He knew he didn't. He knew he did right. So what's her solution? Curse God and die. Why don't you just go ahead and get it over with? Curse God and die. He'll take your life. That was her solution, Job 2:9. But Job stood that storm. He faithfully replied, "Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh." You're foolish like the other ladies, evidently said something similar to him. "What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" We expect that, I guess. Most people do. Expect good things, only good things to come. But sometimes evil things come our way too. God doesn't cause them to come, but he allows them to come. There's a big difference. So, shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Job 2:10. There were also friends. Are these guys really friends? I don't think so. Who chided him, made fun of him. But Job withstood the fiery trials of opposing forces. He said, "When he had tried me," when God had tried him, "I shall come forth as gold, pure gold, purified gold." Job 23:10, and he did. He did. When this story of Job ends, he is restored back to the riches that he had when he was earlier, when they were all taken away from him. He ended up being more wealthy, having a lot better relations after all that was taken away than he had before. So he was blessed. Why was he blessed? Because he stayed true to God, which is what we have to do too. Even in hard times, stay true to God. And number 6, contrary winds can strengthen us by calling for more fortitude. Steadfastness is another word we could use there, strength. God permits things to be fixed against us to teach us to set ourselves against them. He allows things to come upon us. We are potential heroes and heroines, but each must prevail in his or her struggle. We are kings and queens in our own little kingdom, but each must battle all the way up to the throne of, or else be too weak to reign. Now I mention Moses. Moses had to go through a preparatory period of struggle to ready himself for the great task of leading the children of Israel out of Egypt in bondage. An easy liver is like a mushroom. I'm guessing that word could be life for us. An easy life is like a mushroom, which growing up in the night is but a pulpy thing. If you see a mushroom when it first comes out, when you first see it, it is soft. You can try to pick it up, and you're probably going to destroy it. It's going to fall apart. And he compares that to the oak tree is comparing it to a very weak plant, now a very strong plant or tree. There are men who are like this, Psalms 1:1-3. Okay, I wrote down, I want to read that one, so let's go there. One more page. Okay. Psalms 1:1-3. Blessed is the man that walks in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is the law of the Lord, the law of God, and in his law does he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that brings forth its fruit in its season. Its leaf shall also not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. Those scriptures could be talking about describing Job. Could also be describing David and some of what we know about David. A strong believer is going to do that. His delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law does he meditate day and night. He wants to know, he wants to understand what God wants, and he wants to do it on a daily basis. Okay, the winds cry, we will wrestle with you and break you. And the oak stretches out its limbs and answers, let us wrestle then. The rocks beneath mutter, we'll thwart you. But the oak thrusts down its roots, grapples with the rocks, and conquers them. Somehow the roots make it around those rocks, and they take hold. It stands and is stronger than ever, for the storm only sends its roots deeper, while a protected plant in the hothouse of comparatively weak. Thus, we wrestle with things which go wrong, opposing forces, and in the wrestling develop these graces, which bound in the bundle are called character. Perfection? No. Blunder? Yes. All the way. Beaten? Never. We remain unconquered. We find strength proportionate to the testing. Experience teaches us, as the day shall, so shall thy strength be. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. The stronger you are, the better life you're going to live, the more enjoyable life you're going to live, and God and you will be walking together. Some distressing winds we must meet. Betrayal by supposed friends. Jesus had his heartbreaking experience. Judas gave him a kiss of betrayal, but Jesus had no animosity. Occasionally we experience a Judas kiss, and when it occurs we need to recall. The disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. Matthew 10:24. Persecution by enemies. This is another opportunity for us to be blessed. Matthew 5:11. Let's look at that one since he didn't quote it. Blessed or divinely favored are you, when men shall revile you, persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you, falsely, for my sake or for Christ's sake. That verse is from what's called the Beatitude, a long sermon that Jesus gave at the beginning of his ministry. We cannot control the conduct of others, but we can control our own conduct. We can pray for them. Jesus said, pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you. That's the attitude a Christian has to have to be pleasing. Don't say things back. Don't get smart. Say what's, pray for them. Try to work, win them over to not be like they are against you. Lying tongues, which hurt you in church or work, in your club, in your business, or in your neighborhood. This was one of the sufferings of Jesus. Where there was smoke, there's a little fire. Oh no. There was a lot of smoke about Jesus, Joseph, Paul, and many others. But there was no fire at all. The smoke was only the result of lying tongues spread by gossipers. This is one of the most annoying experiences, such a foul and unfair way of fighting another. But you can meet it by blessing them that curse you, and by doing good to them that hate you. Again, our Lord said that in this, back in Matthew 5:44. This requires bigness and greatness. And while we are not as big as we wish, we can keep striving, keep trying to do more and better things. Financial backsets, which may be loss of a job, failure to get a promotion, or an unwise investment. But the world must keep on turning. The Christian does not give up. If I cannot do what I wish, then I must wish to do what I can. Here is a principle of Christians, of the Christian's philosophy, which helps us to make the adjustment. A man's life consists not in the abundance of things which he possesses. Luke 12:15. There are advantages and disadvantages. There are advantages and disadvantages. And he's got a little short story here. I know the president of a bank who lost every penny he had during the Great Depression. A lot of people did, didn't they? A lot of those that had a lot, and they had it, if they had a lot of it invested in the stock market, it went to zero overnight. Tremendous pressure. Did he give up? Not that man. He bought a few used suits and he went on foot from place to place selling them. He began to accumulate a little money. Then he opened a new clothing and furniture store. He began to make more money. Then he went into the oil business and became rich again. Former bank president was not too proud to walk from house to house selling used clothing. Opposing wind did not stop him. His point there is simply another Job-type story. The man had a lot. And at one point in time, he had nothing again. But he built it back up. He didn't give up. He didn't give up. He started all over again and did very well. Number five, the accident which brings physical and financial injury. This can teach us patience and the mastery of self. And thus Paul's word become our words. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. Philippians 4:11. The word we might use there instead of content might be what? What's a good word for that? Happy. He's learned how to be happy. Content would be happy. No matter how things are going for him, good or bad, he's happy. The reverse can also give impetus to new resolves. And again, we say in the language of Paul, forgetting those things which are behind, I reach forth into those things which are before. Philippians 3:13. Paul had done a lot of challenging to the Christians in the early days of Christianity. He consented to the death of some. We know that for sure. Stephen was one of them. He thought he was doing the right thing. He was absolutely sure he was doing the right thing. But then he was converted. He found out about Christianity, and now he's working for Christ harder than he worked against him. So he's not dwelling on what happened in the past. And we shouldn't do that either. Don't dwell on that. We're Christians. We've admitted those wrongs. We've been forgiven. Let's keep marching on forward. But he said, I reach forth into those things which are, I'm waiting. I can't wait for what I can do now, from now on during my life. I don't want to keep remembering things from behind. Let them go. Think about the good things that are ahead. Six is a loss of health could affect some of us. Maybe ourselves or another one in our family. In either case, it is a matter of grave concern. In most cases, lost health is regained. If it is not, we can learn to live with the ailment and become stronger spiritually because of the handicap. This was true of Gaius, to whom John wrote, "Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospers." So John is basically asking for blessings for this man. He knew he had some physical issues. He needed to be blessed. He needed to work out of those issues. He said that spiritually he's great, but he's got some other issues. Sickness was brought to many people at their highest health. Obstacles can be turned into stepping stones. Top of page 96. Everybody with me? It's almost bell time. If we suffer from an ailment that cannot be cured, then we should accept it gracefully. This self-acceptance will save us from a useless resentment over this, what has happened to us. Victory over adversity can bring our finest days. Paul had a thorn in the flesh, 2 Corinthians 12:7. But at the end of life, he wrote, "I have fought a good fight." He kept the faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. Thorn in the flesh, there's a few different opinions on this, but I think one of them that should be, I think we can say is true. Let's see if any of you, what would you say his thorn in the flesh might have been? I think it might have been blindness. Because later, in his later years, he has somebody with him to transcribe, to write stuff down. And I think his eyes were failing. I think that's one thing that could have been wrong, going bad with him. But he kept preaching the gospel, teaching the gospel. He kept having his word, and the words that God wanted to reveal to us through Paul. The Holy Spirit kept working through that. He had some assistance that helped him work through it as well. Disappointment of various kinds. This has always been uncommon, the common lot of man, including Paul, who said, "Wherefore we would have come to you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us." 1 Thessalonians 2:18. So he's apologizing for not making the rounds and going through back to Thessalonica as much as he would like to. Satan hindered him. Things came up and got in his way. He couldn't go through with his plans to visit him. So he's saying, he's apologizing. He said, "I'm sorry about that, but we had to take care of some other things first." The disappointment did not throw him. He knew this world was not heaven. He had a better place to be. It is by remaking our plans and renewing our grit that disappointment becomes appointment, and we have been blessed. Next paragraph, and we'll draw the line there for the night. And eighth one is that he lists here is the death of a loved one. All these are serious things that could hinder our faith, damage our faith. But the idea is we need to become out stronger if we run into any of these, rather than less and lose our faith. This is always a crushing experience. It's God's will that men die. God allows it to happen. And our world would be unbearable without death. So we can find a balm for bleeding hearts in Job's words. "The Lord gave and the Lord hath taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." Job 1:21. We can also find a stronger impulse and a greater resolve in the language of David. "Wherefore should I fast?" This is when his son Absalom died. "I bring him back again. Can I bring him back again? I shall go to him." Answer that first one. Can I bring him back? No. "Wherefore should I fast?" I shall go to him, but he shall not return to me. David understood that fact. So David said, I'm going to live my life so I can go to him wherever he is, and be with God again. 2 Samuel 12:23. So, okay, we'll mark that one. We'll start with section 4 here. The faith is sometimes lost when things go well. Talked about things going wrong. Now we're going to talk about things going well. And people still give up on their faith. Okay. And thanks for your kind attention. And everybody online, thank you too as well. Our devotional will start in a couple minutes. It's got a slight delay.
Page 885, that will be our song of encouragement. After marking that, please turn to page 820. 820. See verses 1-4. 1-4.
Oh, the fear no longer. Good evening, everyone. Good to see everybody, and it's always good to be in the Lord's house. Tonight's invitation, purposes for pain and suffering. Purposes for pain and suffering. Why does God allow evil to exist? Why is there so much pain and suffering in the world? Part of the solution to this dilemma is to realize that pain and suffering are not always bad. Pain and suffering can be very beneficial. They can have a positive purpose in our lives. Through pain and suffering, God may achieve a noble end or goal. First, pain and suffering can bring out creativity and resourcefulness in an individual. One time, a music teacher was listening to a magnificent young singer. He said, "She is good, but something is missing." He commented that someday her heart would be broken by someone, and then she might become the finest singer in Europe. She would then have a heart in her singing that was missing. Sometimes suffering can inspire us to do a greater thing. Paul the Apostle said, "When I am weak, then I am strong." 2 Corinthians 12, verse 10. In Paul's weakness, God could create strength. Some of the greatest literature in the world came from men or women who were suffering from pain, disease, heartache, misfortune, or injustice. Some of the finest music in the world was written by those who were suffering. You know, creativity often goes hand in hand with physical or emotional suffering. As one man put it, "There is hardly a sound body in the roster of the world's most distinguished writers." One famous poet said, "I never had an affliction that I did not turn into a poem." Another said, "Out of my deepest sorrows, I make my little songs." So suffering can have a value or a benefit in bringing out our resourcefulness and creativity in our capacities, which before were untapped, unused, or not recognized at all. As Alexander Graham Bell, the famous inventor of the telephone, said, "When one door closes, another one opens." But we often look too long and so regretfully upon the closed door that we do not see the one which has opened for us. It may take pain and suffering to awaken us to the opportunities before us. Secondly, pain and suffering can also be beneficial in shaping our character. At a youth meeting at church, a young man was wearing a button with the letters PBPGINFWMY on it. Others wondered what it meant. It was not in the word that they could pronounce or had ever heard. He explained that each letter was the first letter of a word, and it meant, "Please be patient. God is not finished with me yet." His point was that he was not perfect. He needed to grow in Christ in many ways, but God was still working on him and molding him. Sometimes it is only through suffering and hardship that character can be molded and virtue developed. Another analogy here would be a place in Amsterdam that is famous for polishing diamonds. When a diamond is found, it may look rough and dark, like any common stone. The diamond must first be cut and shaped, which requires many hours of hard work. The process may use a large wheel which uses diamond dust as a grinding powder. Nothing else is hard enough to polish a diamond. Some of these gems are intended for a king or other high dignitaries. So no effort is spread and spent to polish these stones. Likewise, if we are going to be shaped into jewels in the eyes of God, it may be necessary for us to go through the grinding process of pain and suffering. Just as the very hard diamond dust is necessary to polish a diamond, hardships in life are necessary to bring about virtue and godly character. If there were no obstacles to overcome, no struggles to win, no hills to climb, no pain to endure, no temptation to reject, and no evil to resist, then there would be no heroes, no character, no virtue, and no victory. There are beneficial purposes in pain and suffering most of the time. God is good. God is not evil because he allows pain and suffering to exist. Without pain and suffering, many noble ends would be impossible. So rather than being a proof that God does not exist, pain and suffering are evidence of how God is working in our lives to test us and to prepare us for heaven. If we accept his will in our lives, and if we follow his plan. His plan, we call the plan of salvation. That's where you hear the gospel. You believe it with all of your heart, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, and accept him in baptism. That's how you get into the body of Christ. And those who are already members but have strayed away, you need to come back. You need to take care of that tonight. And so, as we stand, please do so, if you should.
Hear the sweet voice of Jesus saying, come unto me, I am the Lord. For in the blood we come away, come for he loves you so. Only a step, only a step, come for me, friend, for you and I. Jesus in love, in tenderness, Jesus the good. Passing your death, he burned alone, unto the cross, the world is round. Heaven shall wear a glorious crown, when he lays over.